Today on The Dark Side of a Man killed his grandmother with a hammer at their Peoria County home. The latest on the Daybell jury selection and upcoming trial, and Trey Songz's sexual assault documentary would surpass R. Kelly's, says Rory, according to a magazine. We'll hear more about that today on The Dark Side of.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is The Dark Side of.
That indeed it is. Welcome to the program. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any episodes of the show. It's Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode. What's going on?
Hey, not a whole lot. What's up with you, Tony?
You know, just keeping it real in my garden. I was out there tonight and getting my watering system functioning and all of that stuff. And yeah, that's pretty much it. That's my like kind of happy place where I go to unplug. And you'd think like, oh, you want to think happy thoughts. You want to think good things. I listen to Dateline while I'm out there gardening.
That's what I do when I work on my yard. No, I've got some kind of like crime-ish podcast that I get into, and it makes the work go a lot faster.
It does.
I've been doing
a
lot of shit in my yard for spring.
I have too. What have you been working on in your yard for spring?
Well, caskets? I have a half acre and it's just me. Mm-hmm. And then I've got these flower beds that were already planted. I've got some things coming up. I don't know what they are. And, so I got to mow it and weed eat it. And then I had to go into the beds and rake stuff out. And it's just a lot. It's a lot of stuff out there for one person.
Trust me. I know. Yeah. It's,
you have way more than I do.
I have 7 acres that I do and it's just me. But then I have my clan of oxen that pull my wagon, and we plow the fields and we sing songs. We kind of go between show tunes and sometimes old spirituals. And
the lady folks bring you out lunch?
Yes. So the lady folks bring us out lunch and we sit and we talk and... after a 3-hour prayer session, we go back out and
you imagine hooking up oxen to have to do planting?
Like, I know.
Just couldn't.
I don't know that I've ever seen an oxen, quite honestly. But, it's like a cow, isn't it?
Much bigger.
Is it?
They're bigger, yeah.
Where do you get an oxen these days? You don't like see them like out in like fields very much, as far as I know. It's like, oh, there's the ox farm.
At the oxen auction.
An oxen auction. I just want to get some ox and just to have an oxen auction and like and buy a couple radio spots and make it like it's the auction. Oxen auction. Sunday.
The
sale barn with the oxen auction. Yeah. And then you give like nachos and like some food trucks. It'd be great. Yes. The oxen auction.
Oh, I'll buy you one for the holidays.
I can't wait. Okay. I really can't. Okay. So we got some lovely human beings to discuss today. I don't know what this is with people killing their grandparents lately, but it seems to be like a reoccurring theme here on the program. Man killed his grandmother with a hammer at their Peoria County home, say prosecutors. This is from the Journal Star. Deputies found a grisly scene when they arrived at the home at 800 block of South Kim Moore Road in Peoria County on Thursday morning. With hands and boots covered in what appeared to be blood, Cody Kraus, 28, was carrying a hammer. In the house, they found Cody's grandmother, Glenda Rusterholt, 73, in the living room, her face and skull crushed. Blood was spattered about the room. Assistant State Attorney Jason Ramos described the scene during the bond hearing Friday. For Kraus, held via Zoom because the Peoria County Courthouse was closed for the holiday. Ramos said that Kraus was taken into custody and later questioned at the Peoria County Sheriff's Office, where he told officers he hit her with the hammer and an unknown number of times. He also told officers that he heard voices in his head, which stopped after killing his grandmother. Kraus also said that it would be best if all his family were dead, Ramos said. He was released on $500 bail and is staying with family. I'm kidding. Autopsy results released Friday morning by Peoria County Coroner Jamie Hardwood stated that he suffered multiple severe blunt trauma injuries consistent with being assaulted by another. She also had multiple defensive wounds through her upper extremities. Ruffles was pronounced dead at 8:23 a.m. Thursday at her home. Attorney Michael Vespa from the Peoria County Public Defender's Office asked bail to be set at $1 million, but Ramos countered with $2.5 million, an amount Judge Mark Gills chose. I feel that for protection of potential victims, the public certainly, when I hear today that other family members were mentioned as needing to be killed at the state's recommendation, bail will be set at $2.5 million. Gillis said, if convicted, the sentence in its case could go anywhere from 20 years to life in prison. The next hearing will be 9 a.m. on May 11th. Couldn't you just do like no bail on something like this? Like, why does there even have to be bail?
And 20 years to life? Yeah. Okay, the life end. Yeah, but you could possibly sentence someone just to 20 years? Like, you get that for a bag of weed 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You're in jail for 20 years.
Now you get the possibility of that if you hammer up grandma.
Like, that just seems to me that's a, like a life sentence. Like I think in Kansas for crime like that, they do the hard 50.
Mm-hmm.
It's what they call it. And you are in jail for 50 years.
Yeah.
There's no parole. You're just in jail for 50 years.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, you know, 20 years can be reduced in half for good behavior.
Sure.
Chances are a person like that behaving well in prison, highly unlikely.
Yes.
But, yeah, that bothers me. 20 years to life.
Yeah.
For that. And there's people sitting there who, like, had weed.
I know.
And they've been in prison for 10.
I just shake my head because, I mean, it's just like, I know. It's insane. It's horrible. And it's just, this is how we do things. And we don't.
That's pretty effed up.
And we don't change things either. It's like, well, this is how we've been doing it. Like, yeah, and it hasn't been working out the greatest. Like, we should probably not do this anymore. Well, the Daybells are in court. Judge's going to be issue a written ruling on the Daybell jury decision. In fact, I'm going to just do a quick update on this and see if there's, because I pulled this story earlier in the day, and I'm going to see if there's anything new. Judge enters a not guilty plea, 15. Vallo pleads not guilty. Let's go with this one. This is from only 4 hours ago, so a little more recent than the last time I was looking at it. This is from Fox. Lori Vallo, Chad Daybell appear in court for murder. Vallo pleads not guilty. I used to have that sort of a speech impediment when I was a kid. I would say things like murder, and I don't know.
Oh, that's funny.
It was horrible. And it's funny. I listened to old videotapes. I'm like, how did I do that? Like, how did like we not get me speech therapy or something? I don't know how I broke it, but I did. Murder. A suspect and cult mom Lori Vallo Daybell pled not guilty on Tuesday in an Idaho courtroom to murder and conspiracy charges, among others, in connection with the deaths of several people, including Lori's two children. Daybell and her new husband, Chad Daybell, appeared in court on Tuesday after they were indicted late May 2021. Chad pled not guilty to all charges in June of 2021. Lori's next court proceeding will likely happen in October. The pair is at the center of a tangled case that involves several suspicious deaths, as well as a bizarre apocalyptic religious belief that prosecutors claim the couple designed to justify the murders of 7-year-old J.J. Vallo and 16-year-old Taylee Ryan and Chad's first wife, 49-year-old Tammy Daybell. I know justice will be served, Larry Woodcock, J.J. Vallo's grandfather, told media outlets in the courtroom. Lori is also charged in Arizona with conspiring to kill her former estranged husband, Charles Vallo, with the help of now-deceased brother Alex Cox. The majority of Chad's hearing consisted of arguments, which included witness testimony, over where the trial should be held. The defense wants the trial to continue in Ada County, which houses Boise, due to the media attention on the case. The state argued that a sequestered jury from Ada County will be transported to Fremont County to save costs. Chad's attorney, John Pryor, objected several times to the state's witness testimony and said prosecutors were grandstanding. He also suggested it would be less expensive to not sequester the jury in Ada County. In closing statements, prosecutor Rachel Smith said the case should continue in Fremont, where J.J. Vallow and Tylee Ryan died, according to Fox 13. This is where the case should be, she said. After spending about 9 months in an Idaho mental hospital, Fremont District Judge Stephen Boyce said in a Monday order that Lori is returned to competency and is fit to proceed with the murder trial and was temporarily halted when she was committed to a mental health facility in June. Vallow and Daybell were each indicted on multiple counts, each of conspiracy to commit first-degree murder, grand theft by deception, first-degree murder, and conspiracy to commit first-degree murder related to the deaths of J.J. and Tylee, officials announced at the time. The children were missing for several months. When police say the couple lied about the children's whereabouts, and they slipped away to Hawaii before their bodies were found buried on Chad Daybell's property in rural Idaho. Investigators say Chad and Lori Daybell began espousing an unusual doomsday-focused system of religious beliefs involving zombies, teleportation, and communication with other spiritual realms starting in 2018, when both were still married to other people. The Idaho prosecutors say they use their religious beliefs to justify and encourage the murders. Lori reportedly believed she was a god assigned to carry out the work of the 144,000 at Christ's second coming in July of 2020. According to divorce documents Charles Vallow filed before his death, Chad Daybell had written several apocalyptic novels based loosely on Mormon theology. Both were involved in a group that promotes preparedness for the biblical end times. Daybell's arraignment proceeding will take place on April 19th.
So let me get this straight. So they're trying to... Her lawyers are trying to move the trial to another county, and they're like, no, we're keeping it here.
That's where they're trying to go back and forth and decide where the trial should actually be taking place.
I mean, because really, do you think she could get a fair trial where she's at or anywhere? Like, I mean, there's going to be so, it's kind of like, Oh, what was that big one a while back that they had? George Floyd. Everybody's heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it would be hard to find a jury that hadn't heard of it anywhere. Mm-hmm. So by moving it out of the county, is it going to be any better? Like,
mm-hmm.
You've done a crime that outraged everyone, or I should say you are accused of committing a crime. It's outraged so many people that I think you just best you can do is find people who say they can listen to all of the evidence and be fair.
Yeah.
I don't know. Moving it would do them any good.
I don't think it really would at this point, because it's all right. It's like, look, I think sometimes with things like this, that's just kind of what happens when you've created a chaos this extreme.
Yeah.
And I guess the argument would be, well, what if they were innocent? What if they didn't do it? Like, we fucking know they did it. It's in their backyard. And their kids didn't exist.
Is such that you deserve and you are guaranteed a fair trial with a jury of your peers.
Yeah.
Well, your peers all think you did it. I think it would just be really hard to go any place where people would be like, nah, I didn't hear about that.
Mm-hmm.
I could be fair.
It's crazy.
I mean, it involves killing, you know, a child and a young adult.
Mm-hmm.
Your own mother.
And the thing is that the trial does not start until next year. Hey, has there been a... There's not been a miniseries on them yet. I mean, there's been like documentaries, but has there been like a docudrama on them yet?
I have not seen that. I will have to say, I was a little skeptical of the thing about Pam with what's her name in it, Renee Zellweger.
Mm-hmm.
Zellweger. And I really ended up enjoying it.
I did too.
I thought it was good. It was very different, and there's times where it almost was presented like a dark, you know, comedy noir. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how I would feel if I was the family, but I'm assuming they made some money off of, you know, the rights to this story.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that all plays out. I know,
but I did end up enjoying it.
It's it was good. That and what's the other one I'm watching? The Elizabeth Holmes one was pretty good. I got through that. And now there's the one about the girl that influenced the friend to kill himself.
Oh, yeah. That's just horrific.
Yeah. I've only gotten like one episode of that so far.
I may be close to retirement, but
is that coming through? Yeah, that's coming through in mind. I don't know where. I have no idea.
I don't know who's close to retirement.
I have no idea. This is
good for him. Yay.
Yeah. But if you've been following the case, you know, of R. Kelly, there's some other people talking about some other folks in the music industry that should do a little bit more investigating on. This is all opinion based, but this is from the website Hip Hop DX. The title, Trey Song Sexual Assault Documentary, would surpass R. Kelly's. Rory says he's scum of the earth. The horrific sexual allegations levied against R. Kelly were the subject of a 2019 Lifetime documentary surviving R. Kelly, which not only received critical acclaim, but triggered the domino effect that led to the disgraced R&B singer's September 2021 conviction. However, Rory Farrell, one half of the Rory and Mal podcast and the former co-host of the Joe Budden podcast, believes surviving R. Kelly would pale in comparison to a documentary about fellow R&B crooner Trey Songz, who has a long history of sexual assault allegations himself. In 15 years, or however the fuck long it's going to be, a Trey Songz doc is going to be crazier than the R. Kelly one, he said in a recent Instagram live video. Trey Songz is one of the many nasty, abusive, rappy beats and beats the shit out of women like he is the scum of the fucking earth. Trey Songz is fucking disgusting, unquote. His doc is going to surpass, if you ever thought you could surpass R. Kelly doc, I promise you in 15 years, his doc will. He continued, this isn't one story. This is personal that I know with. I'm not even exaggerating. Close to 15 to 20 women, all with the exact same experience that I know of thus far. Trey Songz has faced a string of disturbing allegations against women in recent years, ranging from sexual assault to physical abuse. In February, the 37-year-old singer was sued for $20 million by a woman who claimed to be anally raped by her at a house party in Los Angeles in 2016. That came just months after former University of Las Vegas women's basketball star Dylan Gonzalez accused Trigga of raping her in a Las Vegas hotel. With what seems like endlessly reoccurring news of the alleged sexual assault committed with Trey Songz, I am forced to repeatedly relive in my mind and suffer anew the long-surpassed horror and unbearable PTSD of my rape by his very hands at a well-known Las Vegas hotel, she wrote on Instagram. So I don't know. There's a lot of allegations being flung around there. There is obviously there has been allegations for quite some time. And I wonder if we're just, I don't know. Are we at the beginning of this? Is there going to be more? You have to, you know, kind of wonder.
Honestly, if I was a man who had a history of abusing women, and I think, you know, when you've crossed a line, no, I don't know. Maybe you don't. Like, I don't know if R. Kelly ever really got what he was doing. I don't know if to this day, you know, or if I'm just super rich and I can treat people however I want to. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I'd be a little nervous. I think that could happen to anybody. Now, this guy, I don't know. I'm not familiar with any stories about him doing that. So I can't really comment on that. But, you know, if there are allegations out there and women who claim to be abused by him, I don't know. I think it could happen to him or anybody.
That's true. I mean, there's a lot of allegations that can get flung around, but I don't know. I think some have more merit than others, especially when you start seeing them in volume, you know?
Exactly. Because that's where I think R. Kelly's case got the traction, because it'd been discussed for a long time. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, it was kind of like suspected, or people you know, some allegations have been thrown about. But I think the more women that came forward, mm-hmm. and it's hard to do. That's hard to come forward when you've been abused, let alone come forward against somebody who's rich and famous. Mm-hmm. Because especially now, like, you come forward against somebody like that, everybody hates you.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't take much. You could have, let's say, a YouTube video that you post with somebody and they hate the way you laugh, which happened to me. Like, oh my God, these people were going off about me. And so don't read comments. But people can be extremely mean.
Oh, yes.
So if, like, I just laughed and annoyed these people. But, like, you could accuse their favorite singer of something. Imagine that. Like, Amy Schumer said she had death threats after hosting the Academy Awards because she made a joke about Kristen. I can't think of her last name. And it was kind of funny. She went and sat down in her seat and she called her a chair filler. Mm-hmm. And she knew it was a joke. They were both in on the joke. But these people, like, got really hateful to Amy Schumer for that.
And it's crazy.
So imagine if you're accusing somebody's favorite, you're like, that's their favorite singer, and you're accusing them of rape. Mm-hmm. Imagine the shit that you'd have to deal with then.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane and scary, this world that we live in, with the way people will get upset about things that really shouldn't go that way, you know? It's like, this is a bit much. But another one we got, judge dismisses a case against husband of Susan Morphew, who vanished on Mother's Day 2 years ago. You remember this one at all? I think we've talked about it a little bit.
Kind
of. It's kind of one of those where it's like, I kind of remember it.
Yeah. Go ahead and I'll jump in as I remember.
Okay. So the judge dismisses the case. A judge has dismissed a case against Barry Morphew, man accused of murdering his wife, Suzanne, who vanished on Mother's Day in 2020. A spokesman for the Colorado Judicial Department confirms to People. Prosecutors filed a motion to dismiss without prejudice, meaning they could file charges against Morphew at a later date. In the motion, prosecutors said they believe they're close to finding Susan's body in a remote and mountainous region nearby the Morphew residence. Investigators believe the body is in an area that's covered by 5 feet of snow, precluding them from the safety or safely excavating the area, adding to the motion. The motion states the prosecutors have good faith reason to believe further investigation into this matter is essential to answering the most consequential question presented by this case, namely the question of what happened to Suzanne. Morphew's attorney, Iris Eiten, tells People she doesn't believe prosecutors will refile charges. What they said in their motion to dismiss was that they need a body. After 2 years' time, that's what they think they need now. After they put Mr. Morphew through all this hell, she says. They might find Suzanne, but I'll tell you what, it's not going to be linked to Mr. Morphew, she adds. Suzanne, a 49-year-old mother of two, went missing on May 10th, 2020, after she's believed to have gone on a bike ride in Maysville, Colorado, where she lived with her husband, Barry, and their two daughters. While her bike and helmet were recovered during searches, her body remains missing. Almost a year after her disappearance, Barry was charged with first-degree murder, tampering with physical evidence, and attempting to influence a public servant. After his arrest, Linda Stanley, district attorney for the 11th Judicial District, said she was confident in the evidence against Barry. Barry pled not guilty. His trial was scheduled to start in several weeks. In August 2020, before his arrest, Barry spoke to Fox 21, stating that his wife's disappearance was the most devastating thing that has ever happened to me. But I've got to keep my faith and trust in God, he said. And Suzanne trusted the Lord. And if one person got saved from this, she would think it was worth it. And we are just a godly, loving, caring family. And the thing is just a tragedy. Suzanne's sister has said that she became concerned about the murders and the comments about her relationship with Barry before that she vanished. In 2021, Melinda Mormon phoned into a local Colorado radio station, Heart of Rock Radio, when asked whether Suzanne had ever said anything that raised any red flags about her relationship with her husband, Barry. Mormon replied, yes, Suzanne did. She definitely made implications that she had concerns about her safety. And the condition of the relationship had, I think, deteriorated quite a bit over the last several years. So that's another one where it's going to sit there and Is it going to be retried? Is it going to keep going? You know?
And you know, what if, like, what if he didn't do it?
Yeah.
And everybody thinks you did. Wouldn't that be horrible?
That would be horrible.
You know, like, you can't go anywhere because that's the guy who killed his wife.
Yeah.
And what if you were really a good Christian guy and you're like, you know, I go to church every Sunday. I believe in the Lord. I didn't do it.
I just don't like that being used as a defense. It's like,
that's
okay.
The problem. I think so often people will hide behind that.
Yeah.
You know, and so when somebody does proclaim that, it's like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know, because I think we all have heard, you know, there's just been a lot of stories about, well, let's just say Lori Vallow.
Sure, yeah.
You know, there's one, for example. But I don't know, like, because it kind of, because I think you always have to go back to the money, follow the money, and then who's the most, who would gain the most from this person being gone?
Mm-hmm.
Who would have the biggest reason to kill this woman?
Yeah.
And it would always be your husband. I mean, that's always going to be who you're going to look first at, is the spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And especially since they can't find her. But I don't know. I didn't. That would suck.
I completely.
But it agree. Also kind of, he totally looks suspicious.
Yeah. You think?
Yeah. So it's, I don't know. We'll see where it goes.
I think, I don't know, this one's going to be done. I guess it just depends on the prosecutors, if they want to try and run it again, or if they just think that there's, you know, it'll be a waste of their resources and time, which I think is what it comes down to quite often.
If they don't find something more, like her body.
It's like, we got to run the rest of this place too, not just this one high profile case.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
But then
one.
You hate, like, it's really sad, like, if somebody was to be accused of it and go through all that, or even be found guilty when they're not, and that happens all the time. But then it's equally horrible if someone was to murder someone and get away with it.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. Good old times with good old people here on the dark side of. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of the program. If you guys like the show, keep us on the air. And supporters, check out our Patreon page. Go to darksidepod.com and it'll take you right over there. Be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe so you don't miss any episodes of the program. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to The Dark Side of...